So good morning, everyone. Didn't get to greet everyone this morning, but I am Johan Ferrer, for those who haven't met before. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves. I can say that with confidence, like the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle John. He experienced the love of God. So he could say he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I hope that you guys can say that too, the disciple whom Jesus loves. I like your sweater, Matthew. Child of God, I'm proud of it. I was just like, amen, when I saw that. And I hope we can all keep that in our minds, that we are the children of God. Behold what love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we could be called the children of God. So who are you when you wake up in the morning? When your feet hit the floor, who are you? That's the question this morning. Where does your race begin? Where does your battle begin each morning, each day when you start your day, when you see a challenge? Who are you? Where do you begin? And I'd just like to share some scripture and let the scripture answer that for us. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 139. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So remember in the first part it says, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts before I think them. He knows every word in our tongue. And yet, even though he knows that, his thoughts are precious towards us. Jeremiah tells us, it says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So the Lord knows our thoughts, the words before we speak them, and yet. Just take some time to meditate on that. He knows, like we wouldn't want our thoughts displayed on a screen here in front of everyone, right? But God, he sees that. And yet, his thoughts are precious towards us. They're more in number than the sand of the sea. You are loved. You are blessed. Before you wake up in the morning, before your feet hit the ground, the Lord has thought many thoughts towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, a future in Christ. Our God does not sleep, so when we wake up, we are loved of God. We are thought of. We are precious in His sight. I want to encourage you with that this morning, that whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, that could be sure and steady and steadfast in your mind. I mean, First John tells us that we love him because he first loved us. So let's get a firm grasp of his love for us. That's our foundation. That's from what we can love. Josiah, that's from the foundation from what you can love charity. It is because Christ loved us. That's why we can love. And I don't get tired of Ephesians chapter 1. So let's go there and see what else it says. Who we are in Christ. Whenever I go through a bit of a hard time or face discouragement or need some encouragement from the Lord, I tend to go to Ephesians. It is so precious to me. This is who we are when we wake up. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Just allow these words of God to be speaking to you. These are words of God to each of us individually as believers. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. All this gives God pleasure. It's not out of duty. It's out of his pleasure that he loves us, that he blesses us, that he forgives us. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him, in Jesus Christ. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, like Corny was praying. We have an inheritance, uncorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for us, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah for that down payment he has given us, that Holy Spirit that can reside in us. He is not a lousy buyer that doesn't give a down payment. He puts that down payment and says, I'm coming back for you. Praise the Lord. So we are blessed. We are chosen. We are holy without blame. We are predestinated for adoption before the foundation of the world. We are predestinated to be adopted. We are his sons and we are his daughters. And this is his great pleasure for us. We are accepted. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. We have obtained an inheritance sealed by the Holy Spirit. That is who we are when we wake up in the morning. That is the power with which we can conquer our day, with which we can conquer sin, with which we can be victorious all day, all week, because of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Hallelujah. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. Before we were saved, our spirit was dead, and now we are alive. He has raised us. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, see, that's who we were, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 7 has always been exceedingly astounding to me. All this, why? Then it says, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ. See, I pointed out before that God loved us before the foundations of the world. Before he created Adam, he loved us. And then when we get to glory, it says that he can, that in the ages to come, he can show us more and more and more of his grace. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
We've only seen a glimpse of his grace, only a glimpse of his love. He's bringing us to glory to show us yet more and yet more. That ought to empower us and encourage us. That's who we are when our feet hit the ground in the morning. We are blessed children of God. The enemy has no power. He can only lay there and hiss at us. It's kind of funny. We have a big duck in our chicken coop, and all the hens and the roosters, they have to be up on their roost when the duck is around. But I was going to kill it. My son's just like, no, don't kill the thing. Tie its feet together. I was like, all right. So I tied its feet together, and now it's just flopping around. It's just hissing, and all the hens and the roosters, they can just do what they want to do. And I just had to think of it. It's like, that's the accuser of the brother. That's what Satan does. But he's been defeated by Jesus Christ. He loved us before he made Adam. He takes us to glory for his pleasure to show us more of his grace. And now, what are we going to do with this? Now that we've heard this, now that we've read about this, we've seen this, there's something in our lives called joy. And that's actually the barometer of how much we believe God's promises, how much we accept his love. The joy in our life is the barometer that shows how much we actually believe, how much we actually place our faith in the promises of God. So by that, in your own life, you can see how much you actually believe the promises of God. That's something I've learned, and it's really incredible. I like those little tests, because we can take that and we can examine our own hearts. And it's just like, do I truly believe the promises of God? Because if these promises are true, I mean, we can be the most joyful people in the world. So I just wanted to encourage you with that. That you could believe the promises of God. This is who we are as children of God. We are not defeated. We are victorious. And we experience the love of God by believing and placing our faith in the love of God and the promises of God. Through that, we'll be able to experience these things that are said of us. So God bless you, saints. I'm really excited to be with you again. It's a great pleasure. And to just experience the life, the personal connection you have with the Lord, it's precious.
Amen.
So keep serving the Lord with gladness. Amen.